Okay, so welcome to another edition of the Channel Drop-In. This is the Foundation series. My name's Glenn Robertson, and I'm at Pure Channels. But today, I'm super excited to be joined by previous founder and CEO of Channel Maven, Heather Margolis, but now current SVP Marketing at 360 Insights. Heather, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. I know we've taken some time to get this in the calendar. We're finally here. We've got a great topic to discuss today. But let's just go back a little bit. might you tell us a little bit about how you are former founder and CEO of Channel Maven?
Yes, that'd be great. It's funny. Someone introduced me the other day as a Channel OG, original gangster. And I was like, wait, does that mean I'm old? Does that mean I've been doing this too long? So I founded Channel Maven Consulting in 2009, early March of 2009. And really, it came out of, I worked my career in the channel. I felt like some of the larger companies I was working at were creating programs in a bubble. Like, I created one of the first TCMAs out there in 2000, I'm not going to say the number, it was low 2000. And we never like asked our partners what they wanted. So we spent so much money and time. So really I built Channel Maven out of helping our IT vendor and telecom clients talk to their partners first, better communicate to partners, better help those partners drive demand. And a big part of that was MDF. 8-9 months ago at this point, I had also built a software company that enabled some of that functionality, some of the customization of content. And we were acquired by 360 Insights, and the CEO, Jason Adkins, said, I don't just want the software company, I want Channel Maven, and I want your team inside of Channel Maven doing what they do for 360 clients and beyond. So I'm now running marketing, and my team is still Channel Maven within 360 Insights and still doing what they do, comms 2 and demand gen through.
Amazing. What a great story. Love it. And thank you so much for sharing it. No wonder it's taken us a little time, because you are super busy. And of course, you know, massive congratulations. On the acquisition a few 8 or 9 months ago. So today, the Foundation series here on the Channel Drop-In, we're here to discuss all of the, you know, some of the core things, some of the hearts, some of the things that really are always existing, and regardless of where we go and who we go with and what happens, are probably always going to remain. We've discussed a few things in previous episodes, and today we've got MDF, which is a favorite of mine, as you know, and I know it's a favorite of yours, so I'm really excited. Let's start right at the beginning, if you don't mind. Heather, give us your definition or your background or your explanation of what MDF is.
Sure. So I think the first thing that's super interesting, people call it marketing development funds. It is market development funds. So you are developing a market, and that means that it incorporates sales and marketing. So a lot of times it will live under the channel sales team or the channel marketing team. I still find that there are elements where sales and marketing need to live together and work together. So the first is, do you do MDF for everyone and it's just acquisition? Like they get it just because they are able to sell and build revenue and then you just give everybody MDF? Or is it proposal based? Do they have to come to you? Do your partners have to come to you and say, this is a really good idea I have. This is what I think the outcome will be. This is how much money I need. So you have to decide, how are you enabling your partners? I forget the exact number, but there were hundreds of millions of MDF that weren't being spent probably even just 5 years ago. Certainly when I was at the large vendor that I was at over 20 years ago, it was hundreds of millions. But, and some of that is because you're giving everyone that accrual. So if somebody sells a small bit of revenue and you give them $2,000, what are they going to do with $2,000? Or let's say they get $500, right? If anyone's read Christopher Anderson's The Long Tail, all of that adds up. But for the individual partner, it's minuscule. They don't know what to do with it. So we really need to think about the things that truly will drive joint revenue for the long run.
Yeah. Okay. No, I mean, wow, let's go. Okay. So MDF, love it. Of course, that is the big thing, isn't it? Market development versus the commonly used term marketing development, which of course you will have seen the paper I wrote on this a couple of years ago, where we talked about, is it marketing or is it X or is it Y? And, you know, I explored calling it business development, of which marketing is a part. And of course, you just said exactly the same thing, because actually it's about developing your market. It's not just about developing marketing activities that basically vendors should or maybe shouldn't be paying for, depending on how good you're going to be. And so I think you're also right as well. You know, this was something that I found absolutely astonishing when one single client of ours said, brought us in specifically to our talk about MDF and said, we need you to help us with our MDF program, because last year we had over £4 million of unspent MDF. That blew my socks off, because I was thinking, this is one vendor with £4 million worth of unspent money. You know, just, yeah, you conjure up these comical visions, don't you, of like just all this money flying around and people trying to grab it in one of those like vacuum type spaces. But it's genuine, isn't it? It's a real issue, and it's an issue that vendors face, but also it's an issue that disties and partners face, right? Because they're not accessing it. Do they know about it? What are they doing for it? Is it accrued or is it proposal based? We'll talk about where we think things are maybe going in the future in a moment, but there's so, you know, it's left on the table. Why? Is it about communication? Is it about understanding? Is it about knowledge, expertise, experience? What the hell do I do with this money if you're just going to hand it to me? Right?
Right. So I think it's a combination of, yes, education. You know, partners get this money, and you and I love when the partner comes in and says, I want to do a golf event. That is like the last thing. First of all of their friends, they're just inviting all their buddies, right?
Yeah.
It's all of their friends or some sort of small soiree. That's not driving market development. That's customer relations, which is still super, super important, but that's not what that money is for. So I think it's first identifying in buckets of money what they could do. What could they do for, you know, £1,000 to £2,000 if that's all they have? What could they do for, or US dollars, what could they do for up to 5? What could they do for up to 10 if they have even more than that? Should they be combining forces with other partners of that same vendor to put together an account-based marketing campaign that enables those partners to divide and conquer? The other thing we're seeing, not to go into a whole other arena, is these ecosystem plays where the vendors are helping partner-to-partner networking actually take a form that allows the partners to do something with it. So if you get 5 partners together and say, because each of these partners has a niche and has what they're good at and is doing things like an influencer and a referral partner and an implementation partner and a services partner, if all those partners are getting together and figuring out what their businesses are together, how much MDF do they pool together to then be able to do some sort of a lead and demand generation program that would really talk about knocking people's socks off, that would really take them to the next level?
Yeah. Yeah. So two things there, and you've identified them brilliantly. Firstly, events, right? Historically and typically, we have known MDF to pay for all kinds of events, right? You know, it is the golf day, it is the track day, it is the conference. Okay, let's be honest, it is the exhibition, these types of things, which have been hard to quantify, to validate, to justify, to demonstrate ROI. We can talk about that in a moment as well. So, you know, and then something came along and just ripped the heart out of that, right, in the last couple of years. So maybe that's one thing to consider. But also what you've just described is something that we happen to be doing with distribution at the moment, which is about pooling MDF and then using it in a way that allocates, I won't say preferred, I'll say selected partners in terms of who benefits, right? So the distributor will pull the MDF together. but it's not what we're doing there. That it's more about this: is it tactical versus strategic use of right. MDF, right? Because when we see the events piece from the past, we've kind of gone, right, we've got an event, can you pay for it? We'll go and we'll probably sell something off the back of it, right? Relatively tactical. Or we got $5,000 left this quarter. Can you do something so that we can quickly grab that money in so that we don't lose it next quarter? Tactical way of thinking, right? Well, actually, what we're doing is we're starting to have conversations that encourage a more strategic approach, which is what you've just described in the whole ecosystem movement. Partners are really up for it, but it's the vendors that we're struggling to convince because they're quarter on quarter. Right.
And I think it's so hard. That's just it exactly, right? You can't plan for a year in 3 month increments. You need to know November of 22, I need to know what my plan is for all of 23. And that's why I like moving more toward this proposal base, because you can say either based on what they did last year or based on the fact that they are a potential growth partner. I have a lot of people I've spoken with who say, we have all of the, you know, we have a new partner. They're not doing anything. We're not giving them any money. And you need to take a step back and say, one, is it because they're selling your competitors? Like, they're your competitor's top partner. So you should give them money so that they come over to your side and start pushing your products more. Or is it that they truly don't know how to do marketing? So I know you have done, and we in the past, Channel Maven, have done marketing assessments. Let's look at the partners. Let's look at their capabilities. Okay, they have 15 Twitter followers and 5 of them have the same last name of the founder. That's not good potential. Or they have, you know, 1,000 followers on LinkedIn. They are actively doing what they can to bootstrap their go-to-market and they're visible and people like them and people are engaging with their content. That's a partner that you probably want to put a little more funding behind.
Yeah, no, that's right. And we can't get through this without mentioning COVID, right? Because and I say that in jest, of course. You know, and of course, it was, you know, the devastating for many. And it did have such a huge impact on what we do in our day-to-day lives and both at work and at home. But what I'm thinking about here is we mentioned it earlier in terms of the event side of things used to dominate MDF spend, right? But now I think what's happened, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, is, you know, we've come through COVID where there was zero events and yet we've survived. A lot of organizations have thrived, and that has been because people have been forced into better planning for MDF, because actually in digital and social, because a lot of MDF spend moved into those spaces, there's a lot more trackability, there are a lot more metrics, and they're either right, that they either exist or they don't in digital, right? So you can actually start to report a lot better and therefore justify spend a lot better. And now that we've come out the back of COVID, give or take, you know, we actually kind of go, oh, hang on a minute, maybe we don't dive all the way back into events, because now we've got some much better justification of the metrics that we can take from the activity that we have somewhat uncomfortably been forced to do over the last couple of years.
Yes, I think it's a combination of one, partners and the vendors that were supporting them had to get better with the actual content of an event. You know, it used to be, oh, we're going to go to a racetrack or we're going to go golfing and it was never about what conversations should we be having while we're in these places. And when you go virtual, even if it's a virtual bourbon tasting, which I've attended, or a virtual chocolate tasting, which I loved, it's more about what conversations should we be having while we are on that screen to keep people interested and make sure they come back for the next one. I also think it's a combination of, you know, I always, for always and forever, have joked that partners tend to be 3 to 5 years behind marketing trends. So they're now catching up. Oh, digital advertising is a thing. Oh, SEO, SEM are things I should be paying attention to. So there are ways, and this too goes back to pooling the funding. because digital advertising takes more budget than most of these partners usually have, being able to pool that funding, do a digital ad that then siphons people into the partners that they want, I think is much more lucrative than, or has a better ROI, which I know I'm jumping the gun there, but has more comes out of that than just like, well, we're going to do an event at this bar and hope that, you know, 20 to 30 people show up. Like there are more metrics behind it that we can say, ideally, based on best practices, we are going to get, you know, a 2 or 5 or 12% conversion rate on this. That's why we need to throw X amount of dollars at it.
And this is how we can start, or this is how we can encourage vendors and indeed the partners, because we have to, it's to be more strategic, right? Because we have to try to encourage the vendors to do it in a somewhat kind of obvious way, because they really should know that strategic marketing and strategic go-to-market, strategic business development is so much better than tactical. So they should know this stuff anyway, right? And yet it's the partners, as you say, which are a little bit behind. So we need to encourage the vendors to not only be doing it themselves, but also to be educating and enabling the partners to understand what strategic means. And it can't be this reactive, short-term tactical activity all the time. And I think that's what the new digital, or at least the digital stroke hybrid environment allows us to do, because we're all actually kind of catching up, or at least our clients are kind of saying, oh yeah, wow, we can really track this now. And therefore, why wouldn't we continue to do this? So we've got a real proof point almost, right, of the last couple of years that says it is entirely possible, because we've been forced to do it with no other option. So it's a sink or swim.
And for a lot of people,
there's been a lot of swimming.
Well, and I think too, it illustrates the importance of working with a company like yours, so that you can pull all the partners together, right? You can't just say to the partners, here's the money, this is what you should do, go do it. They actually need a strategist to be disseminating things in the appropriate way. Yeah. So I think, yes, it forced us. There's a meme that I loved when COVID first really hit home and we were all home. It's an office building and you can see into the conference room, and it's, you know, cartoon people saying, the boss is standing up at the front saying, we're not ready for a virtual office. We'll get there eventually. And there's a cannonball or wrecking ball that says COVID on it. Yeah. And it's like about to crash into the building. And it's true. Like all of a sudden we had to figure out how to do the things that we've done every day virtually.
Yeah, absolutely. And everything as well. And by the way, if we can find that meme, we'll stick it on the side as we put a post edit in. So
I think to your point, strategic versus tactical, you're asking the partners to do something that they don't do. So they need that help. And if it means that some of your MDF budget is upfront budget spent with an agency or spent on a platform that's going to help them, that's what you should do. You know, was it 4 million pounds that went unspent? Hey, for a fraction of that, you can actually help the partners spend your money in a way that's going to get the results that you actually want them to get.
Yeah, exactly. And this is, you know, we kind of joked when we were around the table with the client, you know, how it works. And it was kind of like, wow. So, you know, you have this 4 million pound just sat around, because actually it's somewhere, right? It's on a spreadsheet. It's on a, it's a line item. You know, and so it is sat somewhere. And we're kind of thinking, well, actually, we'll just take a quarter of that and we'll totally sort it all out for you.
Right?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
But at that point they go, hey, no way, that's £1 million. There's no way we're going to spend that with you. I'm like, well,
and you're like, okay. But you want it to be spent. So I think too, the thing that's really interesting is, as you know, I started my career doing more sort of program design and development. And a piece of that was assessing the health of the overall channel. Not just MDF, not just communications to, not just demand with. And one of the metrics was MDF spend. What fraction of your total budget is actually being spent? Because if it's too small, then your communication to partners is off. then your partner alignment is off. So if a partner isn't using that money, it's probably because they're using someone else's.
Yeah.
So you really need to think about where your partners are spending that MDF to make sure that they're selling your products and not your competition.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that I said on one of the old podcasts, I think, with someone previously. And when you know, one of the big questions that we get asked, whether we're talking about MDF or whether, well, actually there's a lot when we're talking about MDF, we say, well, our partners don't spend MDF, they're rubbish, you know, they're crap, you know, we've got a bunch of crap partners, you know, and I kind of say there are no crap partners. No partners wake up in the morning going, I want to have a really bad day and make no money today at all, right? They don't do that, do they?
They're probably spending it with somebody else.
Exactly. Right. You know, if and that's what we say, you know, if you think your partners are being crap with you, they're almost certainly being brilliant with someone else. And that is actually less about the partner and more about you. So it's kind of working it out. So look, Heather, this is amazing. I want to keep going. But I know we're kind of running out of time. Just a couple of minutes more. We've kind of done the past. We've kind of done the now and the COVID bits. So what does it genuinely look like, do you think, for the future? Maybe let's go the next 12 to 24 months and then beyond.
Sure.
What do you think?
I think in-person events are starting to come back. My caution, and it's something, you know, we're a much bigger company than most channel partners. Something we're not doing an event unless there is another draw. So we'll get together with our strategic partners and do an event, but we're not just doing our own events. We are joining forces around things like trade shows and figuring out how to get the most out of it so that, again, we're not the only draw. We are talking to really smart people. So Jay McBain's now at Canalys. We talk to Larry Walsh all the time. We're getting these people to disseminate their knowledge to our customer base and their partners. We are also seeing a lot of vendors enable their partners through, just like I said, digital advertising, SEO, SEM, figure out how to get a group or a consortium of partners together in an ecosystem and help them market that ecosystem instead of just their individual brands. And then we're also seeing as virtual events do keep going, there has to be more of a draw, right? Who are five partners together going to get to speak at an event so that there is actually a reason for their customers to come in and think about, as we're on the cusp of a, do I say the word, recession, your partner's customers are going to be thinking about how to save money, how to cut costs, how to increase revenue. And I think it's going to be a very shallow recession. I don't think it's going to be that long, but having an economist or having a business consultant come in and speak about how those customers can do better, I think is awesome. The other thing we're on the cusp of, if partners work with any sort of manufacturing companies, all that inventory that we've been waiting 2 years for, it's about to land. So what do they do with all of that inventory that's coming in as people are being more cautious about spending? Do you offer partners things like rebates and customer rebates? So help the partners leverage their MDF in such a way that visualizes their whole business and not just go to market, go to market, go to market. You have to enable your partners holistically. Yeah.
Brilliant. And whilst you were saying that as a wonderful wrap up, I've just kind of noted down, I think that probably the five or six things that we've covered that maybe we can leave the viewers and listeners as key points here. So MDF, it's not just marketing, it's market, which means sales and marketing coming together, working on the best
solution.
Singing
Kumbaya.
Exactly. Yeah, big hugs. Secondly, think strategic. Okay, it's not just about quarter on quarter on quarter on quarter tactical activity. Can we spend this before the end of the quarter so we don't lose it next quarter? It's about thinking strategically and what can we plan, what can we do ahead of time in order to go and have the best result possible. Third, I've got educate and enable, you know, two channel staples always, but just so important in MDF, whichever way you look. Four, I've got, we can't avoid the massive movement that's happening at the moment of the ecosystem, which is very much about going together. So can we collaborate? Can we bring partners together and pool MDF spend for the benefit of a few rather than the not much benefit for the individual?
Right.
There's probably a better way of saying that, but I think we know what
I love it. Mean. It's great.
We've got customers at the heart of everything. And how is everything that we do ultimately impacted by them and ultimately decided by them, right? Because they essentially hold all the keys, they hold all the dollars. When they spend, everybody else wins. So how can we get in front of them and how can we use MDF for that? And I think you're right as well. The future of MDF is going much more into a planned, a proposed, and an applied for basis than it ever, more so than it ever has been before, where previously it's always been reactionary and based on accruals. I think you're right. I think the future of MDF is much more in planning, proposing, and applying for.
Yes, agree.
Any final thoughts? Because otherwise we're just going to carry on because this has been brilliant.
Yeah, I know. I think we could talk for another hour, but as my next meeting just pinged me. Yeah. Glenn, it's been a pleasure. Let's keep the conversation going.
Yeah, always. So I'm Glenn Robertson. This is Pure Channels. This is another channel drop-in. This is the foundation series that today we've done on MDF, is market development funding. And we've been joined by the awesome, amazing, and thank you for joining us, Heather Margolis, current SVP marketing of 360 Insights. Thanks all. Hopefully hear you again soon. And Heather, off you go. Next meeting's ready.
Thank you.
Thank you.